Hello, everybody. Thank you for taking time to join us for today's Destination Weddings and Honeymoon Specialists Association Coffee Chat. This is the second in our series of panels with working agents in this niche talking about key topics, and we've got a big one today, dealing with difficult clients. We know they're few and far between. You don't have many of those, but when they do come up, we want to share some ideas and tips today for dealing with those issues. And let me turn things over right away to our moderator today, our executive director, Lisa Sheldon.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking time out of your day. This is always one of our biggest topics, I think, that we have in our Facebook group is dealing with a client that might possibly be giving us a little bit of trouble, whether or not it's prior to their departure or even during departure or when they get back. Some of the basic rules, though, I think apply when we're dealing with a difficult client. The main thing is when we have a client and they're frustrated or upset with something, they need somebody to listen to them. What we want to do is listen to those key phrases and words when they are frustrated and upset, and hopefully we can help diffuse the situation before it escalates into anything bigger. And I'm a big movie buff, and I always remember, if anybody has seen the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, when he's kind of teaching his new bouncers how to deal with some unruly patrons, he always tells them to be nice. And he said, if you need to have to walk someone to the door, be nice. And if it takes two of you to walk someone to the door, both of you be nice. And I think that's one of the main things that we need to do as far as, you know, with our clients. We just need to listen, and before we get upset and defenses, we just need to gather all the facts both from them and on our end. And so today, a couple of the questions that we started out with, we'll start out with, I'm going to ask the question, and then I'm going to go through, and our three panelists, Joy Ross, Wendy Dahl, and Glenda Moultrie, have most graciously offered to be on the panel today. And I will pose the question to Joy, and then I'll ask, you know, Wendy and Glenda in no specific order to, you know, to add their comments, and then we'll go on to the next question. So let's get started. Joy, have you heard of the 24-hour rule? The rule where once you get a call from an angry client, you want to be able to gather the information, collect your thoughts, return the call. And sometimes even if they call late at night and you're not in the office, then, you know, how do you deal with that client that's left you the voicemail that's upset?
No, I have not heard of that 24-hour rule in my 30 years. But when somebody calls me, I will take the time to listen to them, and then I will tell them, I will go over my notes, I will call them back, and give myself a little bit of time to think things out, and like I said, go over my notes, go over everything that I have written down, and calmly be patient and just think things out. Don't go into it right away. Do not get into anything. Like you had said, Lisa, don't jump into it. Don't just, you know, take things in your own hands and try to solve it right there on the phone. You need to take some time. If it's 2 hours or 24 hours, just take some time and figure out what's going on before you try to solve everything that's happening. Normally, I will let them know that I do have to look at everything. I need to figure out what's going on, and then I will call them back and talk calmly about it. And it seems to work out.
Yep. Okay, great. How about Wendy?
I wouldn't say a 24-hour rule. I would say it's more a matter of how long it takes for you to be able to figure out some type of solution for the client. I wouldn't let it go longer than the 24 hours because they're already brewing. So to me, it's more a matter of allowing them to let off some steam and venting, but at the same time being able to come with a solution. And I want to make sure that I have something to at least say to them other than, well, I'll check and get back to you. So I try to, if nothing else, figure out what the situation is, what I can do to resolve it, and if there is no resolution, then at least be able to make some other suggestions to them to be able to kind of calm them down.
Okay, good deal. Wendy, what are some commonly used phrases that you often use if you have to calm down an upset client? Whether, you know, many of us are home-based, so we don't always have them walking in the door and sitting down in front of us, but when they're on the phone, you don't see their body language, you don't see, you know, facial expressions, but their tone of voice certainly indicates that there's a problem. What are some key phrases that you use to calm them down?
Well, usually it's not so much in my case, this is Wendy, of key phrases, but it's empathy. You know, they want someone to empathize with them. And so sometimes repeating what they're telling you and sort of making sure that they hear you saying it out loud, for example, I can understand your frustration with this, or I can understand that this has been trying for you. And also, I think it's okay to apologize, not directly that you made a mistake, but you apologize that they have to go through that inconvenience. So I think that they're looking for someone to hear them out, to be able to realize that you understand what they're saying and allow them to vent. Then the other thing that I usually try to say is, let's see what we can do to make this right. And so, now, that doesn't mean the same thing for every situation. I also think it's important here that every client is not the same. And as we get to know our clients, we know kind of a little bit about what type of personalities they have and how they best deal with information. Are they looking for, you know, the cold hard facts, like here's what I've done, boom, or are they looking for someone to handhold a bit and understand? Or are they looking for someone to come up with three or four different solutions and let them choose? So I think it's important to, one, know your client, how their mind works a bit, and then to be able to say things that show that you're empathizing with their problem, you understand what they're frustrated with, and you're going to come up with a solution that's going to solve it.
Okay, great. Glenda, do you want to add to that?
No, I agree with exactly what she's saying. I think empathy is important with this, and so that they can understand that, you know, in some cases we're in it together. This is a big day for them, and they want everything right. So I wholeheartedly agree with the way what she's saying with that.
Okay. And how about Joy? Do you have any key phrases that you use?
That was well said by Wendy. I totally agree. I normally listen to what they say and basically hold their hand through it. Let's see what we can do together. Let's try and solve this problem together and see what we can work out.
Okay.
Empathy is very good. That's a very, very strong word. And hand-holding during this time, the bride is very nervous. I've gone through it with five sons and their brides. yeah, it's a big experience. And
a lot of weddings.
Yes. I was just as nervous. But it's what how you diffuse it and work with them to calm them down. It's not easy.
Okay. You've made a mistake, and whether it's booked them for only five nights and they wanted six, airfare is, you know, getting airfare is an issue, the extra hotel night, the client's had seen an itinerary, emailed you back and said, this is, yep, that's what I want, run my deposit. And then all of a sudden, as you're finalizing the group, you notice they're short a night. Joy, how would you handle that? It's your mistake.
In that situation, my first step would be to get on with the tour operator and see what can work, what we can work out. I would make it work. Somehow, I don't know what it would cost me. If it was my mistake, I would solve the problem. Thank goodness that has never happened. I have seen it happen. And it would work out. Somehow, I would get that air. I would get that extra night. And hopefully the client would never know about it.
Okay, but what if they do? What if the client finds out and just blows a gasket? What do you do?
I would.
Wendy, how about we'll have Wendy? We'll have Wendy jump in on this one.
So at this point, the client knows there's been a mistake. So the best thing, I think, honestly, is to apologize. Admit that you're human. Tell them that you're going to do the best you can to fix the situation. And then, in all honesty, take a look at what sort of commission difference is it for the extra night. Because it's my mistake, I might need to eat the night. Or at least offer it so that it isn't, you know, if my original quote was the price that I quoted was for the four nights and I needed the five, then I would show them, look, this is the fifth night, it is my mistake, let's split the difference. Something like that to show that I'm taking responsibility for my mistake, but at the same time letting them know that this is still what needs to be done and work with me as well.
Okay. And Glenda?
Yeah, that's something I haven't had experience yet, but close enough. And I think honesty is the best policy in this situation because situations do happen, and I would try to eat some of that cost. But at the same time, I would try to contact my BDMs or somebody to help me figure out a way to accommodate, because you can't always get the flight. You may not always be able to get another night. But if it meant me losing some of my commission to accommodate, I would do that, because that could be a return client for me. And I want that client to see that I'm honest and that the mistake happened. I'm sorry it happened. I'm trying to make it better and doing what I can. But I want them to know that they can trust me, to know so that they can refer others to me or come back themselves.
Okay, great. Now we're going to talk about a couple other scenarios. This is one that just happened with actually me and some of my clients. Two of the clients that were traveling to a destination wedding, both aunts of the bride, called me from Punta Cana, and they got to their room, and they walked in immediately and were hit with that, you know, Caribbean odor, you know, the musty, damp smell that's very common in the Caribbean, and they immediately said, they turned around, said the room wasn't acceptable, and went back to the front desk. Well, the front desk offered to move them to a room, but it was away from the majority of the group. It was a king bed. So then they declined the room, but wanted to stay, you know, back in that same room. So the staff put in a room freshener and the air conditioning vent. But overwhelmingly, the smell and the odor was pretty strong, but they toughed it out. They got back and immediately called. They were, you know, pretty upset, but I tried to explain to them it was the Caribbean. And I don't necessarily think, and they even admitted that it was nothing that I could do, because they did decline a room change.
but they just needed to vent and wanted me to be aware of that for future clients, which I thought was kind of them. But, you know, for many of us, we're used to the Caribbean, that smell, you know, when you go to Caribbean in Mexico. And sometimes when you get home, you open your suitcase and it even, you know, still has that scent. I guess one thing I learned from this is that I probably should have maybe told them about that in their room. I mean, but then it's like, well, do I ask everybody if they have allergies or sensitivity to smells or noise or anything like that? Joy, is there anything you would have done differently? I mean, other than listen to them and forward the information on to your BDM?
Joy. Unfortunately, you said everything that was correct, and you cannot really tell clients that it has a musty, damp smell in a room that it could. That's not really a warning I would tell my clients for that. I can't think of anything else that you really could add. I do warn my people for Europe, for if they have allergies for smoking, that I always put in for, you know, non-smoking rooms, because I have allergies and I have problems with that. But I can't think of anything else for something like that for the Caribbean. I think okay. What you said, I mean, you just said everything that okay. I would say.
Yeah. Wendy?
Funny, I had something similar happen to me as well, where I had a destination wedding. There were 15 rooms, and it was the bridesmaid's room that had the same situation. Only in that case, they went to the front desk. The front desk said they didn't have any other rooms for them, which they probably did. They didn't want the bride to be upset, so they didn't call me, and they told me afterwards. And in that case, I said to them, I wish I had known while you were there, then I can do something. And my question to you, actually, back, Lisa, is, did you call the hotel after they offered to move them to see if there was a category nearby everybody, or was that just really all they had left?
Yeah, I did. I had emailed and copied the wedding coordinator and the group's manager, and because the general manager was out that day, and they said that they were at capacity, which was understandable for the time of year, but that they were going to, you know, possibly send a fruit plate or something, you know, to the room or a bottle of wine. And that I don't think ever really happened because they never mentioned it. But, I did follow up with the hotel. So.
Right. I think though, in that case, that would be the first thing that I would say. First of all, I would tell them afterwards to thank them for telling you and let them know that, you know, it's like people like you that really help my business, so I know what to be able to do for further clients, and to thank them for that, thanking them for giving you the information, then I might do like a gift certificate of like $25 to a dinner in their area. More so to thank them for helping you be a better agent. Not taking responsibility for what happened here, because they were offered a change. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay, great. And Glenda, what would you do if you had a client, just, you know, one of your first bookings, and they got down to their resort and had a situation like this?
You know, I like what everybody has said. It makes a lot of sense. And the thing is, I know even with some of the clients I have now, when I sit with them or when I talk to them on the phone, I give them the website of their property and encourage them to look at it, to look at the reviews, because I've already done that as well myself, so that they have some knowledge of where they're going, because there's some things you just can't control. And I think your guests were given, you know, they were given a chance to change rules. They chose not to do it. They shared it with you, and it does help us be better agents in the profession, so that if it does occur again, it's a life lesson. It's a lesson of the profession, and but there's some things you learn once you get there, and that's a part of the Caribbean.
Okay. Now we're going to go on to another scenario. This is actually one that one of our members had sent to us. She just booked a bride and groom and was holding group space, and the family members started to contact them. She has a great, I think she uses Jot Forms to send them quotes and request their payment information. And when you follow up, you don't get an email. And we talked about this even in our board today. 2 weeks later, the bride calls and says, "You never contacted my sister. You never communicate with me. How do I know what's going on with my guest? Who's booked so far?" Her, you explain your pattern of dealing with the inquiries. You call, you email, quotes. Next, the groom calls. He's upset. You've upset his future bride. Wendy, what do you do?
Well, first of all, you vent to your husband in the other room about what a PITA this bride's going to be, and then you calm down and you realize that she is now getting calls from her sister and brother and so forth, and you empathize again. And you say to her, "Okay, this is the way that I work. Let's talk about what's best for you. Do you want me to call you weekly and let you know where things are at with your guest list? That's fine. Do you want me to CC you and on the quotes that I send out so you can see the correspondence? That's fine. What is it that's going to make you feel most comfortable?" I actually had a similar situation where the mother of the groom was given a wrong phone number, and she must have called that 100 times, because I can see how much she calls me now that she has the right number. And then I had this, like, missile email, you know, "I don't know if we want to work with you. You never call my mother-in-law back. You know, she says that she's left messages after messages." And I called the mother-in-law from the number that I was given, and she said, "Well, I even left a message with your associate." And then I said, "Well, I have a home-based office. The only other woman in my home is my 11-year-old. I don't think that you left a message here." And I said, "But you know, you might have had the wrong number, and someone might have gotten a lot of calls and didn't know what was going on." Needless to say, she came back. She apologized because she realized she had been calling the wrong number. So I think the most important thing is to find out how do they want to be communicated with. Because, like what you mentioned in it, is that you talk about my pattern of dealing with inquiries. Well, my pattern of dealing with it might not be the same as what their expectations were. So I think it's important to sort of set the expectations and let them know at the beginning you will be emailing and calling the ones that, you know, that are on their guest list. And as it gets closer to the wedding, you will be, you know, following up with them on a weekly basis. And if that doesn't seem to satisfy them, then I think it's important to find out what they want.
Okay, great. How about you, Joy?
I feel the same way. Normally with my brides or even my honeymooners, I will ask them up front how they want to be communicated with. Do they want emails? With the brides, I will ask them, do they want to be CC'd in on every single person in the party? Do they want to know who's going, who has what type of room? Do they, you know, what kind of information do they want to be notified on? As far as the family, who, you know, every bit of information on who's going to be attending, what the bridesmaids, what they're doing. That's up front. I want to know exactly how they want to be notified and how much information they want to know on each booking. So that is all right up there.
Okay, great. Glenda, would you do anything different?
When I meet with my honeymooners, just my initial contact with them right now is to get information from them as far as a timeline that they like. And I would think in this situation, the mode of communication is very important. And I know sometimes, probably with your destination weddings and all, the bride, you want to keep that person as calm as possible. So I would probably ask who is the other than yourself, who is the contact person that you trust to receive information, so that the information is relayed within the timeline that you've presented to the couple. And that way they know that within those timelines they can check that, and it's almost like a checklist between the two of you to see, am I on track, you know, with what the bride and groom's expectations are and the family's expectations, so that no one is being caught off guard. And and like I said, who are you actually giving the information to? Or maybe they do want to be CC'd, and everybody's emails don't always get to them sometimes, and in some cases that's a no-win situation. But I would definitely, in the initial contact, set up a timeline that's agreed upon and find out who their contact person is going to be it the bride or a representative for the bride, so that we could keep some of this stuff from happening.